us call upon the name of our God in congregational prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, our Lord. We have longed for this day when we could assemble again in thy house of prayer and worship thee in spirit and in truth. We confess before thee that even our longing has been weakness, that we have not desired thy house and its beauties and pleasures as we ought, that we have been very self-seeking and idolatrous. We come unto thee in thy house in the name of Jesus Christ alone. For our Lord was not weak in his longing for thy house, but was eaten, consumed by zeal for thy house. And our Lord found it his meat, his sustenance, to do thy will and to declare thy name among his brethren. And still, seated at thy right hand, the zeal of thine house eats him up. Still seated at thy right hand, it is his meat to do thy will and to come among thy people and say unto us, "The Lord liveth," and to pay his vows in the assembly of the great congregation. And we come to thee in the name of Jesus Christ, for thou in thy infinite mercy hast been pleased to impute unto us the zeal of our Lord, so that we who are not zealous by nature, and we who do not long with the longing as we ought, are for the sake of Christ counted as perfect in this regard. Absolutely perfect. Not for anything we have done or are, but for what Jesus Christ is and has done. We come to thee in the name of Jesus Christ, for in his broken body and shed blood, our sins are forgiven. For in the piercing of his hands and his feet, and the tearing of his robe, is the covering of our guilt and our shame. Oh, thy house is a delight, such a delight, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Wilt thou bless us in worship this evening, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth. Bless thy servant who brings thy word, that he may speak the gospel truly and faithfully to the glory of thy name and the salvation of thy church. Bless us as we hear, that we might hear in faith and might believe the things of the scriptures that are opened to us, and might believe the Savior who declares thy name in our midst. Remember our office bearers, giving unto them all that they need in their service of thee and thy kingdom. Be with the elders in their rule as they especially see to the purity of the doctrine that is proclaimed. Bless them in their rule among the congregation as they go in and out among us. We pray, Father, that thou wilt strengthen them and stand on their right and left. And in the great battle that always wages for the truth of the gospel, in the battle against many foes that is unabating, wilt thou strengthen our elders that they may be watchmen on the walls of Zion and may blow the trumpet in the day of battle with no uncertain sound, but with the clear clarion call of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember our deacons, giving unto them wisdom and the riches of thy grace, as they minister to those in need. Wilt thou provide them with many good treasures from thy word, that they may carry with them and bring to the homes of thy people, so that thy people may receive not only the goods of this world for their sustenance, may receive the treasures of heaven for their comfort and peace. Remember those men who have been elected. Prepare them in these weeks for their installation and ordination. Wilt thou equip them with thy Holy Spirit and with thy word, that they may be prepared in the day of their installation to minister to thy flock. We pray that thou wilt remember the churches of which thou hast made us a part in this season of the year, as we remember our last days in our mother church and all of the events that surrounded those days. And as we recall the questions that came to our minds, and as we recall thy work in delivering us from the net and the snare that had been set for us, and as we have observed in these past 2 years, thy work of building a denomination and a federation of churches, we cannot help but declare again, as thou hast put in our hearts to declare so many times, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Truly, Father, what thou hast done must be thy work, for what has been done is beyond the ability and the wisdom of any man. We pray that thou wilt remember us as churches, as the battles for the gospel continue. Not only now, those battles that are waged against the error of Mother, which error is not far from our own hearts, for in our depravity we love man and enthrone man. But as that battle is also waged within, and as the truth of thy covenant and thy fellowship with thy people and our fellowship with thee and with one another is fought for In these days, we pray, Father, that thou wilt preserve us. We are as helpless as we have ever been. There is no faithfulness and no strength to us. We have been helpless from the beginning, ensnared by every net, saved only by thy grace. Wilt thou remember our frame that we are dust, and be our God and our Savior and our Deliverer. Preserve among us the comfort of the gospel of our Savior and the glory of thy holy name. We pray that thou wilt provide us with ministers of the gospel. Remember our students who labor in preparation for that calling according to thy will. And provide us more men. For as it has always been, according to the word of our Lord, so is it now. The fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers few. We thank thee for our Lord's compassion upon his church, so that he has told us, pray to the Lord of the harvest for laborers. We pray, Father, that thou wilt provide. We pray that thou wilt remember also our school and our schools. We receive these as a great gift from thy hand. We are sorry, Father, for our slowness and tardiness to understand the greatness of this gift, for our willingness to fight against those schools and their foundation in thy covenant. We are sorry for our fight and tolerance of the fight against the school as required by thee, which has left our schools vulnerable again. Where we are weak and unfaithful, thou art strong and faithful. We thank thee for giving us the gift of Christian schools. Wilt thou give us teachers for the instruction of the children, and remember our teachers, standing with them and strengthening them. Remember our boards, giving unto them wisdom for the decisions that are constantly to be made by them. And remember our covenant seed. Father, we thank thee for the covenant seed. This too is a great gift from thee. We pray that thou wilt also remember our homes, giving unto us in our marriages, and as parents and children, and in our single life, all of the gifts that we stand in need of. For there is simply no part of our life in which we are strong. In everything we are weak. In everything thou must be our God and our Savior. Wilt thou hear our prayer, Father? Cry to thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Forgive our sins, blotting them out in Jesus' blood. Keep us from sin, and answer us in mercy for Jesus' sake. Amen. We worship the Lord now in the giving of our offerings. The first offering is for the building fund, and the second is for Reformed Protestant Education of Wisconsin. Psalter number 48, number 48, another versification of Psalm 22. And this Psalter number stands as 3 and 4, are a versification of our text this evening. We'll sing stanzas 1 through 4, the first 4 of 48. Turn in God's Word this evening to Psalm 22 again. Psalm 22. Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. This is God's word, infallible and inspired. May he bless it to our hearts this evening. Our text is verses 25 and 26. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, as our Lord declares from his own point of view, from that first-person point of view, the events of the cross in Psalm 22, our Lord declares the end and the victory of that cross. The psalm begins with the Lord crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The psalm begins with our Savior compassed about with many wicked men who hated him and hated his cause and hated his God and hated his Father, hated his gospel and hated his truth. Our Lord, as he relates the events of the cross, tells that they pierced him, his hands and his feet, and stripped him and parted his garments among them. Our Lord, beginning in verse 22 of the psalm, declares the victory that belonged to Jehovah through that piercing, through that cross. Jehovah's was the victory, so that Jesus can sing about it. I will declare thy name in the midst of the great congregation. Thy name, which has been my strength. Thy name, which hath sustained me. Jesus Christ declares the name of God as the Savior of his people. And that note of victory is found in our text and is therefore our consideration this evening at the occasion of applicatory. That having eaten and drunk the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose flesh was pierced, we see what the Lord says he will do as the victory of that cross, and what he will give as the victory of that cross. And what he will give is this: my praise shall be of thee, Jehovah, in the great congregation. What the Lord does there is our salvation, so that you and I eat and are satisfied. Eat the body and blood of the Lord. Eat his gospel and are satisfied. And so we consider this word of God this evening under the theme, praise in the great congregation. In the first place, the meaning. In the second place, the result. And in the third place, the promise. Praise in the great congregation. The meaning, the result, and the promise. In our text, verses 25 and 26, Jesus is still the one speaking. We must not imagine that verse 25 is first of all the confession of the individual members of the church, so that this member over here says, thy praise will I declare in the great congregation. And this member over here says, thy praise will I declare in the great congregation. The one speaking in the psalm is still Jesus Christ. He is the one who says, my praise shall be of thee, God, in the great congregation. Just as Jesus is the one who said in verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Jesus is the one who said in verse 16, they pierced my hands and my feet. So Jesus is the one who says in verse 25, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. That's made very explicit for us in Hebrews 2. In Hebrews 2, the writer, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is proving that Jesus did not take on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the nature of man. He is proving that the Lord Jesus Christ counts himself to be a brother among his brethren. And as proof of that, in Hebrews 2, Psalm 22, verse 22 is quoted. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Jesus is the one speaking there in verse 22. And so he is the one speaking those very same words and that very same concept in verse 25. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. What's revealed in that truth that Jesus is the one who speaks this psalm is a wonderful truth about the psalms in general. The psalms are Jesus' songs. The psalms are the words that Jesus sings. Now that can raise some questions of exegesis, how to interpret certain things throughout the psalms. But the psalms are the psalms of Christ. He sings them. And he sings them in the great congregation. So that when the church of Jesus Christ sings Psalm 22, Jesus is in your midst. He's right here, singing that psalm in the congregation. And although he is in heaven, according to his human nature, having ascended into heaven, he stands in the midst of the congregation by his Spirit and by his word, and he sings those psalms. That's not true of any other song. That's not true of any hymn. When you sing a hymn, even if that hymn is true and doesn't teach false doctrine, when you sing a hymn, Jesus doesn't sing that hymn along with you. But when the church sings the psalms, Jesus himself is singing. Jesus himself is saying those words. That's the preciousness of the psalms. That's the beauty of the psalms being the songs of Christ. It is very foolish for a church then to say, but we prefer hymns, and we want hymns for our congregational worship. The church wants the psalms, for those are the songs of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says in Psalm 22, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. Now, when Jesus says that he will speak in the congregation, he specifies exactly what it is that he is going to say. He says, first of all, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. Jesus is speaking to God there. Jesus, according to his human nature, as a man who was taken out of his mother's belly, as he records in the beginning of the psalm, and who was cast upon God from the time he was a child, that Jesus, according to his human nature, is speaking to God and is saying to God as Jesus Christ, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. So that the content of what Jesus speaks is Jehovah. Or as he says it in verse 22, I will declare thy name among my brethren. Thy name, which is the revelation of Jehovah, the revealing of him as the living and the true God. Jesus says, I stand in my church, having had my hands and my feet pierced, having accomplished the salvation of my people, I stand in my church and I praise God. I speak his glory, speak of him to my brethren. What the Lord teaches there is that his word in the church is theological and theocentric, centered around God, and a word about God. There's another kind of word that is spoken in churches. There's an anthropocentric word and an anthropological word. It is a word that makes man the center and man the meaning of everything. So that whenever you read a verse, your task is to find man. And whenever you confess a doctrine, your task is to confess man. And you can say all kinds of things about God when you do that. You can talk about his grace. You can talk about Christ. You can talk about God. But the point and the heart and the kernel of what you are saying must be man. You scour the scriptures to find the activity of man, as if the activity of man is the point of the scriptures. Scour the confessions to find the activity of man, as if the confessions teach man as the kernel of the truth. That's an anthropocentric word. And that's a test for whether the church teaches the gospel of Jesus Christ or not. Is the word that is proclaimed to you theocentric, theological, so that you understand all things from the point of view of Jehovah and understand all things as the work of Jehovah that redound to His glory? Is the word that is proclaimed to you a word that makes you nothing, that takes away from you all your self-worth and all of your meritorious work, and leaves you with Jehovah God and His mercy and His grace? When you hear that word in the church, that theocentric word, that theological word, that's Jesus Christ praising God in the great congregation. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. And where you hear an anthropocentric word that makes much of man, there you don't hear Jesus Christ praising God in the congregation. That's something else entirely. Somebody is praising somebody, but it is not Jesus Christ praising God in the great congregation. Jesus tells what He shall declare when He says, "My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation." Jesus describes the content of that praise further, and that word further, when He says in verse 25, "I will pay my vows before them that fear Him." I will pay my vows. Jesus has vows. Vows that He took upon Him. Vows in which He made an oath before the face of Jehovah God that He would do something. Jesus says, "I have vows, and I will pay those vows before them that fear Him." Jesus here brings up the whole matter of the vow. And that vow in Scripture is ever only one thing. It only ever has one form, essentially. And that one form of the vow is this: "The Lord liveth." That's the vow in Scripture. The Lord liveth. That vow is a doctrine. That vow is a confession. That vow is the gospel. The Lord liveth. Which is why you find that phrase so much through Scripture. That's the vow of Scripture. The Lord liveth. And when a man has that vow upon him, then he says, "As the Lord liveth, I shall do this thing or I shall do that thing." That man, under that vow, is taking upon himself the central truth, the most basic truth, and the most profound truth of all: the Lord liveth. And the Lord who liveth witnesseth my vow. And the Lord who liveth holds me accountable for my vow. That matter of the vow is beautiful. It's a glorious, glorious thing. The Lord liveth. That truth of the vow teaches that Jehovah is not a dead, empty, vain stock like the gods of the nations. The Lord liveth. The idols of the nations have eyes, but they see not. But the Lord liveth. He has eyes and He sees all things. The dead idols of the pagans have ears, but they hear not. But the Lord liveth. He hears all things. He hears the voice of His people when they cry. The gods of the idols have a head, but they don't know anything. But the Lord liveth. He knoweth all things. According to His own perfect counsel, He knows Himself. He knows all His works. The gods of the pagans have hands, but they do not, they work not. But the Lord liveth. He worketh all things according to his own good pleasure. And all his works are good. The gods of the pagans have feet, but they walk not. But the Lord liveth. He goeth where he pleaseth, and is everywhere. The Lord liveth, that's the vow. The Lord liveth, that's the gospel, that's the confession. And that Lord liveth as the covenant God who in his good pleasure hath brought his own people into his own covenant fellowship. That's the deep meaning of live. It's fellowship and covenant. The Lord liveth, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Lord liveth in his own perfect, eternal covenant fellowship and friendship. The Lord liveth. That's the vow. And that vow was upon Jesus. The Lord Jehovah anointed Jesus Christ as his servant who would live and proclaim that truth. The Lord liveth. Do you want to see what the living Lord knows? Look at Jesus. He knows Jesus as the heart and center of his whole counsel, so that all things were made by him and for him. The Lord liveth. There in Jesus, the Lord liveth. That vow is upon him. Do you want to see what Jehovah accomplishes? Look at Jesus. The Lord liveth there. The vow is upon him as the one by whom the worlds were made. That's what God does. And as the one who is the Savior of his church. That's what God does. The Lord liveth. Jesus, his whole life long, was under that vow. And says now, with regard to the victory of the cross, I will pay my vows before them that fear him. What is it to pay that vow? To pay that vow is to bring the burnt offering. That's Psalm 66. I will pay all my vows. I will bring my burnt offering into thy courts. Jesus there is teaching at the content of what he declares in the midst of the congregation, and the content is this, the burnt offering. The content of his paying that vow is this, to come to his church and declare to them, my hands were pierced and my feet were pierced. And I was scorched under the wrath of Jehovah, his curse upon your sin. To deliver you from it. Jesus Christ speaks to his church that truth of his own sacrifice. He says to us in our midst, God smelled that burnt offering and it was pleasing to him. He smelled my broken body. He smelled my blood. He smelled my sweat. He smelled my tears. He smelled the burnt offering. And it pleased him. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to his church. Your sins, your filth, your stench and mine, God doesn't smell that. He doesn't smell it. He smells the blood of his son. He smells the burnt offering. And Jesus paying his vows then is his coming to his church and declaring to us, the Lord liveth. The Lord was pleased with my sacrifice so that your sins are covered in my blood. And Jesus teaches the content of what he declares in verse 26. At the end, your heart shall live forever. Your heart shall live forever. Jesus proclaims that as his doctrine and his gospel over against the word and declaration of every enemy that says, you're going to perish. You're going to perish. Don't you see your cause? The cause of the Son of God? That cause isn't winning in the world. That was always the word of the enemy. It was the word of the enemy to Jesus as he relates at the beginning of the psalm. They shoot out the lip at me, and they say unto me, let the Lord, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. That was the attack on Jesus' gospel from this angle. God does not delight in you. Your cause is defeated. Your cause cannot be victorious. It's a losing battle. And that's the attack of the enemy always on the doctrine of the gospel. If your cause is the cause of the Son of God in this world, where's your victory? Step back and look at your life. Where's the victory of the cause of the gospel? Where's your might? Where's your power? Where's your conquering? You will be destroyed with that cause as your cause. Your whole life will be taken from you, and you will be destroyed. That was the attack on Jesus. It was an attack on his gospel, and that's the attack on the church yet today. And over against that charge, against his gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ stands in the midst of his brethren in the great congregation and declares, your soul shall live forever. The truth of my gospel is not that you shall have power on the earth. The doctrine that I teach is not that you shall be great among the nations. The doctrine of my gospel is that your soul shall live forever. I've taken that soul and all of its sin and rebellion. I've cleansed it with my own blood, washed it clean. And Jehovah God has counted to your soul all my obedience. Yes, you will die. Yes, men will hate you. Yes, you will be a small thing in this world, a worm even, and no man. But your soul shall live forever. That's the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ declares. I praise God with theocentric, theological truth. I pay my vows before them that fear me. I preach my gospel of my broken body and blood. And I tell you, over against all your foes, your soul shall live forever. Jesus declares that in the midst of his brethren. As he says in verse 25, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. There Jesus teaches that he assembles his people with him. And when he assembles his people in that congregation, he himself is there among his brethren by his word, by his spirit, by his divinity, by his grace, The Lord Jesus Christ is there in the midst of the congregation. Whatever accommodations are made for that congregation in its assembling, Jesus Christ is there in the midst of her. So that the Lord says tonight, I am among you. This is the great congregation. If it is a handful, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the instituted church of the Lord Jesus Christ, or if it is hundreds, that's the great congregation. Jesus says, my praise shall be of God in the great congregation. That means that Jesus' praise of God and his proclamation of his gospel is not for everyone. It is proclaimed promiscuously. It is declared to all who hear. But he pays his vows before the congregation and in the midst of his brethren. And there are those who are not brethren. The gospel reveals that. The gospel reveals men. The gospel reveals men when the burnt offering, which is the vow of Christ, is brought. And the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed. And men say, but that Christ there is not enough for me. I must have yet, along with that Christ, all my work. And I must have that work as that which I do to obtain that Christ. And there are 1,000 ways that the imagination of man can make the activity of man to be his working and to be that by which he has Jesus Christ. Those who say about that Christ, that's not enough, are not his brethren. He declares the burnt offering. He pays his vows in the midst of his brethren. And there are those who say that Christ is not enough. You must leave me also my will. You must leave me my will as the decisive thing in my salvation, or you must leave me my will that I may do whatever is right in my own eyes. That too is to curse the Christ. Jesus says, I declare God's name to my brethren, to those who are from all eternity chosen by God in his good pleasure and given to me as the members of my body. They are the ones to whom I come. They are the ones to whom I speak. They are the ones to whom I declare my cross and salvation. Those who by confession or life are outside that congregation, don't need more sermons. Don't need more sacraments. Those who are outside that congregation need the devil to tear their flesh, that the Spirit may be saved in the day of Jesus Christ. They heard sermons. They had sacraments. They would not listen to sermons and sacraments. They wouldn't listen to the Lord. What they need is the tearing of the flesh by the devil himself, and to be delivered to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Jesus Christ. When Jesus says, "I declare my name to my brethren," and in the midst of the congregation, he implies by that his own Christian discipline that separates his enemies who are not his brethren out of the kingdom of heaven. And when Jesus says, "I declare my name among my brethren, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation," he is speaking of the instituted church. Jesus declares the name of God in the church, where that church has been formed by the gospel of Christ, and where it has been instituted, or is on its way to being instituted, as the church of Jesus Christ. It is in the church that this gospel is proclaimed, and not outside of it. It is in the church where the broken body and shed blood of the Lord is administered, and not outside of it, which means that it is wrong to say the preaching of the gospel is man, and the administration of the sacraments is man, and the preaching of the gospel is things, and the administration of the sacrament is things. The preaching of the gospel is not man. It's not things. The administration of the sacrament is not man. It's not things. The preaching of false doctrine is man. But the preaching of the gospel is not man. The preaching of the gospel is Jesus Christ coming to his church, standing among his brethren and paying his vows. Jesus doing that. That preaching of the gospel is heavenly, it's divine. It's an earthen vessel through whom that gospel is proclaimed, but that too does not make it man. The preaching of the gospel is in truth the word of God. You must not heed anyone who tells you that if you're unhappy with the church, or if the church has departed and is apostate, that you may leave into individualism, an individual life. Jesus himself in Psalm 22 says, "My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation." That's where I speak my word. The result of Jesus speaking this gospel in the great congregation is that he gives to his people faith. That matter of faith is throughout the text. Before them that fear him. Fearing God is the main Old Testament way of saying believing in God. Almost wherever you read fear God, you can read this, believe God. Before them that fear him, that's faith. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. The meek are the believers. The meek are those who hear that word of God and submit to that word of God, love that word of God, They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Seeking the Lord is faith. Faith is throughout that passage. What Jesus is teaching in that, the fearing, the meek, and the seeking, is that this is the result of His standing among His brethren and proclaiming His gospel. When He teaches His church the truth of the burnt offering, the truth that the Lord liveth and has accomplished His purpose in the salvation of His people in that cross, the Holy Spirit, by that gospel, creates faith, makes the people fear God, makes them meek, makes them seek Him. That preaching of the gospel is the means of grace. To use the language of the Reformed faith and our confessions, our faith comes from the Holy Spirit, who works that faith by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. The preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacrament is designed by God call your attention to the one sacrifice of Christ as the only ground and foundation of your salvation. The Holy Spirit uses that gospel to give you the gift of faith. That's the result of the preaching, the result of the sacraments, the result of Christ praising God in the midst of the congregation. Jesus goes on in verse 26 to say, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. When the Lord declares His own sacrifice and gives the church His own body and blood and unites them to Himself by that faith, the church is happy and full. She's dying daily. She's led as a lamb to the slaughter, as sheep killed daily, but she's satisfied, not overthrown, and full with the gospel of her Lord. The gospel sends the church home full, and satisfied and happy. And Jesus says the result is, they shall praise the Lord that seek Him. The Church of Jesus Christ, hearing the salvation of God, says, praise God. And praises God with Jesus in the congregation. So that Jesus takes this very song and puts it in the mouth of His people. We too praise Him. That word of the Lord, that gospel of His, is attended by tremendous promise. The promise of the Lord implied in the text is that what He does now in the midst of the church, in proclaiming His word and feeding His people to their satisfaction with Him, He will do forever. When the church institute upon the earth is all gathered together in glory, and there in the great congregation, the Lord will forever praise the name of Jehovah. The psalm which began with the enemies condemning Christ and attacking His gospel ends with the church in glory, with her Lord who was pierced for her, hearing now and forever the greatness of our God who has saved us. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word to us this evening. Bless it to our hearts, comfort our weary souls by it, and apply it that we may see our Savior and His finished work, and hear His gospel, and believe and be saved by thy powerful operation. Hear our prayer, forgiving our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter number 49. We pick up Psalm 22 immediately after our text and sing the three stanzas, all three of 49. Bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.